You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Today on First Lady and Friends, I had a great conversation with Superintendent Mark Ernst, as well as Charlie Roberts, who is the Assistant Unified Swimming Coach at Tooele School District. We talked all things unified sports, and all three of us are passionate about unified sports with the Special Olympics and how it changes hearts and minds and how it changes who we are as a person. And it really is a beautiful experience for everybody involved. Can't wait for you to take a listen. Let's get proximate. We're back here on First Lady and Friends. I'm excited. We have a really important event coming up. It's our state tournament for unified sports with the Special Olympics. And today on the program, we have Superintendent Mark Ernst, as well as Charlie Roberts. We are so excited to have you all here to talk about what's going on in Tooele and the amazing work you're doing with unified sports. So welcome to the program.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited. So, Tooele is, you've been early in on unified sports. You've done an amazing job. And I have to say, one of the greatest things that I've ever experienced probably in my life, and it'll always be one of my most treasured memories, is going to the USA Games in Disney World, Florida with our team from Tooele, our soccer team. It was just a cool experience.
Yeah, that was an exciting time. And they took a bronze medal down in Orlando, and That was great for them, the coaches, and the community. It was one of those things that brings a community together.
Yeah, I agree. It's been really cool. So let's talk about Tooele School District, what's been going on out there. First of all, you and I have been talking a little bit about, you know, teachers and wellness and what's going on. Talk a little bit about maybe just the environment. I always want people to know, what's going on with our teachers in the schools? It's tough right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, teaching is a unique profession because anyone who has gone through public schools, they think they know what a teacher does and what a principal does.
They're the experts.
Yeah, they're the experts. Yeah, exactly. Boy, but then when you become the teacher, you realize it's a whole different environment and show, and it's a tough job. I always say that being a teacher in the classroom, it's a grind. It's day after day. Especially you think of an elementary teacher who sees the same kids for the entire day, every day of the school year. And so there's just that I don't want to say never ending, because it's always, I have the weekend and then a break's coming up, but it's just a long school year. And I've often thought, boy, could a teacher go year round without a break, like at a quote unquote normal job? And it would be difficult for a teacher to do that. And part of it is just the mental strain that it takes to keep 30 kids on task, and then also do your lesson plans and correct that homework. There's a lot that goes into it. And I think that the majority of teachers, they're good once they get going. The first year is by far the hardest year, because it's you almost don't know what you're doing. And you're not only getting used to teaching, but you're getting used to what happens at the school. I got to be on lunch duty and the bell schedule. And then we have an assembly on Friday. So that throws off my day. And then year two, you kind of know some stuff and you're experimenting a little bit with, this didn't work last year, let's try it new this year. And by year three, you've kind of learned what you're doing and you're into a rhythm as a teacher. And then it's don't burn out, you know, keep taking care of yourself. And I think our teachers, so many of the teachers, and I think this is around the state, they give of themselves and they want so much for their students. Unfortunately, part of that means they don't take as good care of themselves. And so we're always trying to provide opportunities for our teachers to take care of themselves and have a break. And I think that's one thing that what you and I have spoken about in the past is the show up for teachers that you promote, and that's just a wonderful opportunity for our teachers. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, no, thank you. I've been in the classroom. I understand it a little bit, but I think, like you said, some of us, if we've either been there or we've, you know, we obviously went through school, so we think we're an expert. But talk a little bit maybe about the unique time we're living in. I mean, we're seeing political polarization dropped in the laps of our teachers. We're seeing post-pandemic academic struggles, social struggles. I mean, kids have lost so much social interactions either through because of social media screens and things that just our culture right now. We grow up with screens. We grow up maybe not connecting human to human as much as we used to. And teachers are trying to figure all this out. At the same time, how do we teach academics? How do we keep the trauma that kids are experiencing from affecting the behaviors in the classroom? I mean, there's a lot going on that teachers, other than just sort of teaching lesson plans and academics, that teachers are dealing with.
So true, and it seems like every time there's a social initiative, well, let's go to the schools to do that, or can the schools teach that, or let's go into the English classroom and take care of that. And while we want to be supportive of that, those type of things do detract from our primary objective, which is educating our students. And what's difficult is for us, we have students 6 hours a day. Yeah. And so then the remaining hours of the day, they're left to maybe not their own devices, but to the
world.
But
in a lot of cases, they are to their own devices.
Yeah, exactly. Sadly enough. And so we try to do the best we can, but yeah, you're right. Every year, there's one more thing that we have to add to our curriculum and what we're doing. And then you add on social media.
Yeah.
It is just a major distraction for our students. And I will say it's probably a distraction for our teachers in some ways as well, not only in their personal life, but then now instead of teaching, I have to deal with whatever this social media issue was causing. It's a strain. I met with some students last week or 2 weeks ago, and we talked about cell phones and social media in the classroom. And one of the boys, he said, I feel my phone vibrate and it's like, oh no, what am I missing out on? What's going on out in the hallways or with my friends that I'm here in class, in that urge to dig into his pocket and get his phone is just almost too much that they just have to give in. And then off they go, in their minds elsewhere and no longer on learning that should be taking place in the classroom.
Yeah, I think that's a struggle, even just when I was in the classroom many, many years ago, that wasn't even part of the discussion. So I think people have to understand this is a new generation of problems and issues that teachers are dealing with.
And, you mentioned COVID. And when we first came back from COVID and the pandemic, I really thought, oh, we'll bounce back. This won't take, 6 months, a year, and we'll be back. Nah, it is a lasting impact on our students, much more than I thought it originally would be. And we've seen it's really changed the face of education, maybe some a little bit for the better, some also for the worse. So it is a different world today. Yeah. Definitely different than when I started, and different than when you and I were in classic, years ago.
Yep. Yeah, it's tough. So one of the things that I love, I mean, we talk about, some of these extra things that teachers are that are put on their plates as it relates to just the nature of the students that we see now and the issues and the problems that they see. I grew up playing sports. I grew up playing basketball. My dad, he wanted 11 kids so he could have a football team. And he had 8 girls and 2 boys. And so us girls played a lot of ball. We played basketball and volleyball and all the things. And to me, it was a really a place of outlet. It was a place of connection. That's where I found my friends. That's where I found a lot of confidence. I know that we're seeing that, still. But let's talk about, and again, I come from a special education background.
Yeah.
I love my friends with disabilities. I have learned so much from them. Let's dive in a little bit and talk more.
All right.
We mentioned it in the beginning. Let's talk about unified sports and maybe what you're seeing.
Yeah. So my history with unified sports goes back to the very first year. At that time, I was principal at Grantsville High School. And this idea of unified sports came out, and we didn't really know much about it, didn't know what it was going to take, but we're like, Absolutely. We'll give it a go. And so we had soccer. We started with Unified Soccer, and our students had a lot of success. And it is such a unique opportunity for our students with special needs to become the popular kids in school. They start to rub elbows with different students, and it's so good for the kids with special needs. But man, is it amazing for the partner athletes, the regular ed students who are now becoming best friends with some special needs students who normally, without Unified Sports, it never would have happened. So it's remarkable to see that take place in a school.
Yeah. Charlie, talk a little bit about, you've been on the coaching end of it. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing.
Sure. A year ago at our state swimming championships, there were heats for the Unified kids. And I'm looking at this, and they had, I don't know, 6 to 10 kids over a few days. And I thought, why isn't Twilla doing this? And then I looked in the mirror and talked to our coach. I talked to our athletic director, and he says, I have a tendency to go 70 miles an hour in a 25. He says, slow down, paint the picture. Tell me what you're going to do. So I did. Wrote it out. He took it to our principal, Jeff Wyatt, and he is all on board. Of course, our coach, Holly Tate, was on board. And then we went to Rebecca Ford. I'm highly biased, but Twilla has the best special education program in the state.
I agree. She has been on the program,
yeah.
And I absolutely adore her, and I think she is making a huge difference in elevating.
She does. Because if the teachers aren't supportive, it's not going to happen. You can have all the parental support and administrative support. But Rebecca would not let me finish a sentence and said, let's do it, da-da-da-da-da. And so so we just kind of put out a cattle call, and we had 4 students this year participate. And it's great for those kids because, for the most part, those with limited abilities have never had an opportunity to be on a team, to have their picture in the yearbook with a team, to get a little medal or whatever. It just hasn't come their way, which is unfortunate. But this made it happen. And then, as the superintendent alluded to, the best thing is how it helps the other team members. And it opens their eyes, and they become friends, and their hearts go into it. And so there's a lot more than swimming 50 yards or 100 yards. That's okay, but it goes a lot deeper than that.
Yeah, maybe I love this. I want to dive more into it because I was just, we were in D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and I had Tim Shriver, who's the chair of Special Olympics International and has become a dear friend of mine and also been on the program. I asked him to come and tell the first spouses. We had some first spouse programming at National Governors Association meetings. And he told his story of his mother, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who is a sister to John F. Kennedy. And he talked about the power in inclusion and how she started the Special Olympics movement. And it's a movement because it's what you're talking about, Charlie, is really this, really the connection and the friendships that every person, every human deserves. Every human deserves dignity. So maybe let's talk a little bit about that. What are you seeing? How are you seeing those friendships developing? How are you seeing it change maybe the culture in your schools?
Yeah, I will say, and I love what you say, that the dignity that goes along with that. I'm just convinced that most people, all they really want is love. Yeah. They just want acceptance. And it doesn't matter what kind of background you have or what you're doing right now in your life. They just want to be accepted. And they're looking for love from wherever they can find that. And I think because of that, it's incumbent upon us as a school system to ensure that they can find that somewhere in the school. And we see that with every kid, be it choir, band, the art club. And in this case, Unified Sports. And for me, it's just amazing to be able to go to an event. I remember one year I went to Hillcrest High for soccer. That's where they were doing the soccer that year. And it didn't matter win or lose. It was just that we were there and we were participating. And again, it goes back to that's all the kids want. They just want a place of belonging and to be treated as they see everyone else being treated. And it's just, it's infectious. Once it starts happening in the school, it continues to grow. At some of our schools, at Grantsville, they have swimming and track and basketball. At Stansbury High School, they just started this year with their, what are they doing? They're doing basketball, their first sport. So they just started. But I don't know if Stansbury would have started had it not been for the success that Tooele High and Grantsville High were having. Because then it's like, wait a second, why aren't we doing this for our students? And then it just grows from there. So yeah, very infectious and great for the students.
Yeah, I've seen that too. And Charlie, what have you seen from the other schools? How are you seeing them come together?
Well, it's been really exciting for me. I've never worked with this population before, and I'm fairly old. I don't know, 69 old. I don't know. But anyway, when
very
I went to
young,
school,
younger and younger from
there
these
was a classroom
days.
At the end of the hall. They went and ate at this table, and it was very isolated. And I never liked that. And I have a good friend who is involved with Special Olympics bowling, and he started talking to me about it. And so, for me to break into that has just been wonderful. I have a young girl who's blind, and she can. And when these kids started swimming, it was put your face in the water, blow bubbles type of thing. I think swimming is the most unnatural thing you can do, and they had to learn it step by step. One with Down syndrome, and I don't know. One of the most exciting things for me this year was as we got closer to the region state meets, our coach cranked up the music and playing Bohemian Rhapsody, and I'm watching Heather swim, and swimming backstroke, and she's singing, I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me. And it's those kinds of things that are really sink into my heart and develop me. And it's good for the kids. It's good for the team members. They assisted them getting in and out of the water at swim meets. And there's really no end to it. We're just sticking our toe in the water.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a movement, and it's a powerful movement. But I assume you've seen this creation of a whole school engagement and whole school inclusion. Talk a little bit about what kind of how that goes out from Unified Sports into the rest of the school.
Yeah, one thing that I've seen is, if you go into a high school gymnasium, just like at pro arenas, there's usually state championship banners. Yeah. And I know that our schools have banners for their Unified Sports that have won state championships. And the same amount of attention that is paid to like the homecoming assembly or the homecoming pep rally, or when the football team wins a state championship and they get their banner, the same attention is paid to Unified Sports. And so, yeah, you're right. That just grows from there. And then what happens is some students who are regular ed students but don't participate on the teams, maybe they got cut or for whatever reason they choose not to participate, they also find a home at Unified Sports because they can be that partner athlete. And so someone who maybe doesn't have the skills to be on the basketball team, on the varsity team, they can be on the Unified team as a partner athlete. And so, but they without those assemblies and without making it part of the whole school, they would never even know that. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's neat to see it grow.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you haven't experienced, you have to just experience it. I always tell people, I bring people to experience it. We do sort of a VIP breakfast at the state tournament, and we bring folks from all over that we think will be interested in donating or being a part of it. And I always tell people, it's a really easy sell. I just bring them in, show them the event, and they walk out and say, take all my money.
Yeah, once you see it once, you're in, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're hooked. Yeah. You're hooked, for sure. But, lately I've been having these conversations with higher education and some of these other places and with school districts about, how does, and actually Tim Schreifer and I have had this conversation recently about how do we take Unified Sports with Special Olympics, and how do we sort of translate that into the academic world? How do we rethink the way we deliver education to all students? And specifically, how do we kind of buy into the philosophy? And I know it's hard because it's funding, and at the superintendent level, it's always about money and how we allocate. And it's just tough, no matter how you slice it. It is tough. But I'm wondering how it can translate from, you know, unified sports to academics and education, really embracing the philosophy that special education is a service and not a place.
Yeah.
And Charlie, you talked about how, and I, this was my experience, and it's still the experience, sadly, in a lot of our schools that I go to, where the special education students are in a classroom together. They are isolated. I was at a middle school once, and I went to lunch with them, and they came in before all the other students and pretty much were done eating by the time the rest of the students came in. And I just, to me, yes, I know it's probably better than the 70s and 60s when they weren't even allowed to come in the schools, but it's still really far behind where I think we should be. I mean, talk a little bit. I know it's funding. I know it's a buy-in to how we sort of set up the regular ed special education model. But maybe talk about the difficulties and maybe where you see that pushing. Because one other thing I will say is that I think it's the students that, you know, Charlie, you talked about these peer athletes that all of a sudden are sitting there saying, well, this is my friend. You know, I've been swimming with her. I've been playing basketball with her. And now I'm sitting in my classroom. Where is she?
Yeah.
Why isn't she here?
Yeah. And I do think that we're making strides in this. And it's certainly, like you said, better than what it used to be. But it's not as good as what it could be. And one thing is, even the way you design where your special ed classrooms are in the school. Are they at the end of the hall where only those kids go down? You know, are they integrated in just like any other classroom? And you wouldn't even know that it's a special ed or a regular ed classroom. So how you work your special ed classrooms into the design of your building is great, or can make a big difference. The other thing is a pull out model or a push in model. Are we pulling our special education students out of the classroom and putting them alone with other special ed kids, or are we pushing in our special ed into regular ed classes? And that's probably where the power comes to, where you could have like a partner student. You know, we know that this student's going to need a little bit of extra help. So let's place someone next to her that is comfortable helping her and is able to do that. So having that push-in model where our special ed students, they're just a student. As a matter of fact, I can remember when I taught, I would go down my roll and there was no difference. There was no indicator on my roll who was regular ed, special ed, or any other type of issue that a student may have. Every kid was just a student. And so I do think that we need to recognize the special accommodations that certain students need, but we don't need to single them out. We accommodate them as we would any other student, just in a normal, natural way. And I think when we approach all of our students the same way and we take care of them just like we would any other student, then they become just any other student. And I think it's a great thing for kids to see, other teachers to see, of the example that, I don't have to treat anybody different. They're just my kids.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's right. And I think we're going to get there. And I see special education or Special Olympics really changing the face of the way we deliver special education services. And as long as we start to change that mindset around it's a service and not a place, special education is a service, not a place, then I think we can start to see some of those. And I just love it. You know, Charlie, like you, I see those friendships. And to me, there's a difference in being friendly and having a friend.
Big difference.
Yeah. So talk a little bit maybe more about what you're seeing on that front. Are you seeing friendships developing, and are you seeing them going outside of, you know, the pool or the field or the pitch?
Yes, most definitely. And to me, it's all about making an individual effort and coming out of your comfort zone. whether you're a student, a teacher, the custodian, reaching out and finding out these are wonderful people. And we don't need to classify them in this or that. They're just part of everything. So on our team, it started with helping. We do the dual meets, and then there's a break in the middle of the meet. And they help them in and out of the water, and in some cases be with them as they swam because of their physical liabilities. And it's so exciting. You'll get bigger cheering there than if we had an Olympic swimmer. I am not kidding. And down at BYU, they, as I mentioned earlier, they clear the deck. All the team members come down, and they're cheering every stroke of the way for those kids. So what happens then is they unite with those kids. And just like, you know, you have friends from high school, in many cases, these kids don't have friends for whatever reason. And then they unite with somebody, and they'll become lifelong friends. I'm convinced of that.
Well, it is true because, you know, that's how I got into special education. My lifelong friends have Down syndrome, and we went to school together, and we went to church together, and we went to, you know, we saw each other in the community, and they were part of my life. And so that's why I'm so passionate about this.
You know, another thing I thought of, I have two friends, and they're married, and they have two special needs kids. Both mom and dad, high school athletes. Very good high school athletes. And I know for a fact all they wanted was to watch their son play baseball. And he's never going to be able to. But he'll be able to participate in unified basketball and soccer and swim. And I just think how exciting that's going to be for parents who had this dream before they had kids, and that dream was kind of shattered.
Yeah.
When they had a kid and they realized he's not going to be able to do what we were dreaming of, but now he can. And without unified sports, never would have happened. So great for the students, and how exciting for the parents to see their kid out there participating in just doing something that they love.
Yeah. You know, Mark, I see you getting a little emotional. I'll just tell on you a little bit, but I tell that's almost a very similar story because I sat in, you know, and I tell this all over, but I sat in one of those big assemblies where we were playing a big basketball game with our unified sports team, and I sat there, and my favorite thing to do is to look around and see those parents.
Yeah.
And see those parents who, however long ago they got that diagnosis, and they had to really completely shift their expectations of what this child's dreams were going to be, and what they were going to experience with this child. And it's changed. It's not better or worse, but they're changed. But to have those parents say that my son, my daughter is, first of all, has friends. Second of all, is being cheered on by their entire student body, that, you know, they go down and they eat to the swim meet and they are the heroes of the swim meet. I mean, you know, as parents, isn't that all we want?
Yeah.
I mean, we just want our child to be loved, to be accepted, no matter what their abilities are. I mean, we all feel like that with our children.
And I think that as a school system, that's something important to remember. You know, parents, sometimes rightfully so, and sometimes not as rightfully so, come in and they're upset about something. And they, why did this happen? Why did that happen? What's going to happen to this kid? But when you peel away all of that stuff, all they want is what's best for their kid. It's all they want. They're just asking for, hey, my kid is in a bad spot and they need some help. And so I just think that's an important thing for us to remember as educators, that when you get away with, take away all the minutia of education, it really just comes down to a single kid in a classroom trying to learn, or a single kid on the athletic field trying to do their best. And the parents, they just want what's best for them.
To give you an indication of how that works for the individual student, we have Kennedy, who's been blind since birth. And she's swimming backstroke, and we get her to the meet, and she's kind of poking along. And we go, Kennedy, what took you so long? I was having so much fun, I didn't want to quit. So we got a little work to do on competitiveness with her. No. But this is something they've never experienced and wouldn't otherwise without Unified Sports and the Special Olympics.
I'll have to tell my daughter. My daughter was Kennedy's para-educator for a school year.
So great.
I'll have to tell my daughter about that.
She's doing wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, and I have to say, you know, USHAA, I have to, hats off to them. Oh, yeah. They have sanctioned basketball, track, and soccer, as well as the swimming meets and the track meets. They are in the meets have unified heats to them. And instead of doing something totally separate, they are actually part of the state meets, which, you know, I think is just phenomenal. And again, gives the exposure to all those. My favorite thing is really getting people to experience it. And so when you have all those parents that are there to watch their kids in these state meets, and then they get to have the unified experience, I mean, that just opens their hearts. It opens their eyes to what's possible. And you know, we talk about these students in are typically developing students, and you know, we talk about social media, we've covered all that, and really, you know, getting outside of themselves, really seeing somebody else who may have struggles that you know nothing about is such a powerful tool to creating leaders and just, you know, humans that are empathetic and kind and compassionate. And isn't that what we want? Aren't those the employees that you want? Isn't that the, you know, every CEO in the country wants an employee? I mean, I always tell my daughter, you want somebody that's been a Special Olympics athlete or peer athlete, because they're going to be the most beautiful person in the world.
Yeah. Even you think of a student who gets a retail job. They're working at, I don't know, some company selling clothing. Yeah. And because of their exposure to students through Unified Sports, when a customer comes in with a young child or someone who needs some extra help, that employee is going to be more willing to go engage with those customers because of this experience. Yeah, it's just the exposure. And I think how neat is it that the name Unified? Because that's exactly what it does. It unifies. It brings people together.
Yeah. So, well, I just want to say thank you so much for the work you're doing in Twilla. We're going to keep going. We are spreading. I mean, we've got our event at the University of Utah on Friday, March 8th. It's huge. It's our big basketball tournament. And we want the whole community, we want the whole state to come out and watch these kids perform. It's going to be amazing. So thank you for what you're doing out there. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To get involved in Special Olympics, you can reach out to my show up team, or you can go to SOUT.org. That's SpecialOlympicsUtah.org. Thanks for being a friend.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.